Bless the name of the Lord. Constant. I say to myself every time I have the opportunity to worship and sing, if only we pay attention to the songs we sing, would have believed the gospel a long time ago. And someone sang this morning and said, Majesty, Majesty, I cannot be used to it. He said, Your grace found me just as I am. He said, I am forever changed by your love. And that love that made you become a believer, it changed you forever. It changed everything about us. And see, I'm not going to tell you that everything has been fine for you this year. One thing through it all, the love of God remains the same. And you know the beautiful thing about this love? We don't measure it by what we go through. We see it in the face of Jesus. The Bible says, He says, God who commanded light to shine out of that. He said, He has shown in our hearts. He said, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. In all we pass through, we look at Jesus and we rejoice. We are singing not because of anything, but because you know you have redemption. Because you know God has delivered you eternally. Today may not be like you want, but tomorrow is better. Because there is a party there. Worship the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord this morning. Bless the name of the Lord. Father, we declare your faithfulness. Worship the name of the Lord. Libro diga da da la ba da ga da bos. Inga libre giros atanda lima na kando zopo fregiros. Manga duska libre garos. Libro zito toto li handa libre ha. Jesus, we see you, we see you, we see you. Through what we pass through in all our situations, we see you. And we exalt your name. Madosko libre giros. Libra Girosha Tanda Libra Dosta Inga Dada Libra Dosupra Gadosh Dimba Dika Dostka Libra. Jesus, 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 we exalt you. We appreciate you. We are mindful of the things you have done for us. We do not take it for granted at all. Manda Zipra Diga Dosha Tanda Libra Manga Zupo Fregirosha Tata Libendeska. Jesus, be the center of it all. Jesus, be the center of it all. From beginning to the end, He will always be, He's always been you, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus at the center of it all. We see you. We see you at the center. We see you.
Jesus at the center of it all. Beginning to the end,
it would always be. It's always been you, Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus at the center.
Everything revolves around you.
Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you.
From my heart.
From my heart to the heavens.
Jesus.
Jesus be the center.
He's all about you, Lord.
Hallelujah. It's a wonderful Jesus. It's marvelous. We can have our seat this morning. Can have our seat. Just turn to your neighbor and say, regardless of everything, the love of Jesus is constant. He doesn't change, and I don't doubt his love. Hallelujah. Blessed morning to everyone. It's a beautiful season. It's a season for our rejoicing and for me, I see it as a season to reflect. And there are two seasons I reflect seriously in this life. When my birthday is approaching, and when it's Christmas, my birthday, because I start thinking about where I wanted to get to at 20. Am I there? And for Christmas, I try as much as possible not to allow the essence of the season to get lost on me. It's very important. And I think for the past 5 years, I've been wishing people not just a Merry Christmas. I write Merry Christmas and a thoughtful one too. Because when we think, then we'll be pushed to do what we need to do to make this season count. And my prayer and my belief is that for as many of us, even in the spirit of the season, we are going to make it count in the life of people around us in the name of Jesus. Quickly, we are looking at understanding our righteousness in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we echo it together? Understanding our righteousness in Christ Jesus. Okay. Now, righteousness, I think the crux of Christianity, as it were, is the word righteousness. Because that was essentially what God wanted in us. I remember a passage in Isaiah where he said, I look for someone to stand in a gap. He said, I found none. He said, I look for someone to build up this wall. He said, I found none. He said, because of this, he said, I will destroy these people. It's very important that we understand that which has made us sons to God, the Father. Hallelujah. Understanding our righteousness in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, I'm going to start from verse 14. I will read through to verse 17. Are we all there? Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. From verse 14. It said, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Who is the figure of him that was to come? He said, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Unto how many? Unto many. Yeah. He said, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Verse 17 together, everybody. It said, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, it said, shall do what? Shall reign in life by one, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, those that have the gift of righteousness, we are going to reign through one, Jesus. So, righteousness, as it were, is very key to our faith as believers. Because it is by it that we reign, and we have it through Jesus. Amen. And let me just, verse 18 says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto what? Unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be what? Be made righteous. So what made you righteous? The obedience of one. So is it your obedience? No. Is it the things you have done? No. He said, by the obedience of what? And what was that obedience? The Bible says, he obeyed even unto death. Death by the cross. That was the obedience that has made everybody that is righteous today. And by everybody that is righteous, I mean every believer on the face of the earth. He now said, that as sin had reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So grace reigns through righteousness. I didn't say that. The Bible says it. So it's very, very important. As a matter of fact, I checked and I discovered that the word and grace and righteousness, the word there was kai. It means that is, which is righteousness. So in verse 17, grace was introduced as kai, grace, kai, righteousness. It means grace that is righteousness. So he reads that if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace, that is, of the gift of righteousness, shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So, Romans chapter 5 verse 17 has told us, and to be righteous simply means what? I think we had a definition sometimes ago about righteousness. And we had, when we were talking about priorities in Christianity, I think we went back to E.W. Kenyon's definition of righteousness. And what is that? Who can tell me? Huh? Without a sense of guilt, condemnation, or inferiority. Okay, so we don't have guilt, we don't have condemnation, and we don't have inferiority. How do I sum it up? You don't think it's that you are robbing God to be equated to God. You don't think it's that you are robbing God to be equated to God or with God. You know, Jesus Christ just came and just scattered everywhere, just started saying some statements. I mean, like, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Say, I am a Father, I won. And people were like, you know, that was why they killed Jesus. Because he was declaring who he was. He said he did call himself the Son of God. He did make himself the same with the Father. That was why they killed him. Because for them, it was totally inconceivable that Joseph and Mary's son just comes out of nowhere and say, I am righteous. And if you actually look back, you discover there's a lot of things that has actually landed us in trouble, where the things we've been saying ourselves. I remember you just come out and you just say, remember those days in school, we just come out and say, I cannot be sick. And someone say, you're proud. How can you say you cannot be sick? How can you say you cannot do this? You just come and just say, I cannot be stranded in life. And people say, who you be? As in, who you be? You cannot be stranded. But people don't understand these things. I pray that this morning we are granted understanding in the name of Jesus. He said, to be righteous simply means you have the ability to stand in the presence of God without a sense of fear, guilt, inferiority, fear or condemnation, guilt or inferiority, with absolutely no consciousness of sin. And you can stand up and go to the Father, before the Father anytime. Look at it. We are looking at understanding righteousness. Because the challenge we have as believers is not that we don't have. It's that we don't understand that which we have. There is nothing that would happen to you as a believer that you did not receive at the instance that you accepted Jesus into your heart. There is nothing. You know, it's amazing that we just think accepting Jesus or just accepting Jesus. There are things we needed to pray for. There are things we needed to cry for. There are things we needed to just study. And when you read some dangerous books also, you discover that you are deceiving yourself. I remember when I was going to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, I had planned I was going to fast the number of days and I was going to study. We have to speak in tongues. But God loved me. I didn't do more than day one. And day one, I only read Galatians chapter 3 and Acts chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and Acts, when they were going into the temple, And that place where they told the guy, where John said, oh, save our God, we have none. So people came here and said, don't think it's by our righteous works or by our holiness that we have done this. But it's by the name of the only child, Jesus, who you guys crucified, that we are doing this. And asked Paul was telling that whole foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? That thing which you have begun in the spirit, what makes you think you will perfect in the flesh? Oh, looking like, wait, salvation as it were started in the spirit. So what makes me think fasting and praying and isolating myself was going to be the reason I was going to speak in tongues? That same day, I called someone that I knew, and I went to his room, and they got me baptized in the room. I didn't even fast one day. But you know, some people have testimonies, because it looks coincidental that after they have tarried and fasted for days, that was when they spoke in tongues. So they come and want to lord their experience over us, that no, it's going to take time before this thing comes. And if we truly understand these things, there is nothing we will not be able to do in Christ. As in, what predicates our effectiveness in ministry and life is understanding the things of the Spirit. Emphasis on understanding. I didn't say receiving it. You have it already. Until we understand the things that are ours in Christ Jesus, the things that Jesus Christ gave to us by going to the cross. Of course, we know that Jesus Christ didn't give us Pajero and Omar Jeep and Co. All these things, until we understand them, we will not really be effective. I remember those days we used to pray. Before we pray, we start asking for forgiveness of sins. So I walk up to my dad. I just asked my dad one day. I said, Daddy, holiness, is it attained immediately or progressively? My dad said, it's progressive. I said, Daddy, okay, if it's progressive, at what point do I measure the point I get to? That my sin, prayer is no more an abomination to God as a sinner. I mean, how do I really measure that? Oh, Toluwani, this is how to measure it. When you get to the, you know, you have attained holiness. Since it's progressive. My dad didn't answer me that question. And that was the question that turned around my life. I mean, I had to find out. Like, I needed to know. So until we understand these things as key to the things we do spiritually, we will not really get anywhere. So he says that righteousness is the ability to stand in the presence of God. You know the funny thing about it? It is even you that is affecting. Because even when you have a sense of guilt, you are not guilty. Even when you have a sense of inferiority, you are not inferior. Just like I just come to church this morning and I start feeling like a woman. I'm like, I'm a woman. I feel like a woman this morning. I'm like, Pastor, I feel like a woman. I feel like a woman. Does that change who I am? So, believer, I'm telling you, even when you say, when you feel it, when you sense it, that, you are condemned, you are not condemned. And Paul says also, he said, even if our hearts condemn us, he said, God is greater than our heart. And that's one of the remarkable statements I've seen in the scriptures. He said, so even when your heart is saying, Baba, you will die today, he said, you can ignore your heart. Because God, the testimony of God, is greater than your heart. Because your heart is subjected to the things you have passed through sometimes. You see, if I grow up in Abuja and they are killing human beings to eat in Abuja, if I go to Lagos, murder will not be a big deal for me. Because somehow, I have acclimatized my heart to that reality that it's normal to kill another human being. So that's why the word of God is our only instruction. So why am I righteous? Because the word says so. Why am I holy? Because the word says so. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's go. Everything that the believer would ever need is summed up in Jesus as received at salvation. Are we together? He said, as such, the believer is not lacking in any good thing. He received everything according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So when you receive Jesus, immediately you became as holy as Jesus. Immediately, you became as holy as God is. Immediately, you become as powerful as He is. Because the greater one came on your inside the day you accepted Jesus. So what's the difference between a Toluwani and a big man of God? A big man of God has driven himself to the point of dedication and devotion to understand how to use the things on his inside. Whereas Toluwani perhaps is struggling with the reality that, do I have it or I don't have it? That's the difference. Understanding. They understand how it works. I don't understand. As a matter of fact, I'm still doubting it. For a long time, I was desiring that Abuja can be very hot sometimes. So when I want to enter my car, I feel like, I wish my car had this function that can bring my windows down once. You know, before you enter the car, you can press and the windows come down, at least the breeze gets inside before you go inside. So I kept desiring. So I wanted to buy a Lexus because I've seen a Lexus habit. About 6 months after I was desiring, I was just going out one day. I just was playing my car key. I just saw all the windows just drop back. I was like, okay. I stepped down. I pressed again. I went to the car. I started here. I put everything up. He agreed today. I pressed and I discovered that my car actually had that function all along. Was it at the point that I understood how it works or that it started, it was there? No. It's always been there. But I had no understanding of the workings of it. And how could I have understood? If I just picked the manual and I've looked through it, studied the features, I would have understood. And that's why we see the Pauline prayers. Let's read Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18. Ephesians 1 18 says, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Okay? He said what? He said that ye may know and understand, that the eyes of your understanding be what? Be enlightened. So you see that the Pauline prayers are majorly about understanding. In the Bible, you discover that in the Gospels, Jesus Christ was always saying, are you without understanding? He said, have you not understood? Have you not read this? Do you not know? In fact, on the way to Emmaus, when he rose up, Luke chapter 24, the Bible says he was talking to them. He said he was expanding the scriptures of the man. He said, and he opened their understanding. That means those guys were Bible scholars. Before then, they knew what was in the scriptures, but they didn't understand it. So what Jesus Christ did was not to say, oh yeah, let's go and read the Bible again. He said, and he opened their understanding. And when they understood, they said, oh God, did our hearts not burn within us when he was doing all these things? When he was talking to us? So understanding is very key in this journey. So whatever the believer must understand must be understood in the light of Jesus. We see everything in him. Everything revolves around him. Everything we need to know. You know, if Jesus Christ did not come to the scene, there are some things we would not know. Apostle promise. If Jesus Christ did not come to the scene, there are some things we would not know. For instance, you may never know that Moses did not see God. It was when Jesus Christ came and said, no man has seen God. I'm like, how God, what are you saying now? How can you tell me? He just looked at me and said, no man has seen God. I mean, a guy just came some other time and told us that he saw God. And God was even saying, no, it's my back that you will see. You will not see my face. My goodness will pass before you. He said some stuff like that. I'm like, but do you know that even if you get to Deuteronomy, Moses was telling that when you saw God, remember that you saw no similitude of anything. Where God is, he said, you didn't see any, so don't raise any high door after the similitude of any, because when you saw God, he told us he saw God, but Jesus Christ came and corrected that notion that, hey, guy, he didn't see God. I mean, someone like me, I would have killed many people by now. If Jesus Christ did not come to tell us that the spirit I have in me is not the spirit that should be calling that fire and fire, because the Son of Man had not come to destroy, but to save. So, when we understand this, even our righteousness, we can only understand it in the face of Jesus. We can only understand that which is ours. So, understanding righteousness in Christ Jesus is very, very important. We see everything. He said, the righteousness that we also have is understood by him. The believer is already righteous. He's not looking for it. He's not crying for it. He's not praying for it. And there is nothing he's doing for it. He just needs to know. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I read from verse 12. If you are there, say amen. Second Corinthians chapter 12. Chapter 5, verse 12. For we commend not ourselves. Are we all there? It said, for we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your sake. For your cause, rather. He said, for the love of God does what? It constrained us, because we thus judge. That if one died for all, then all were dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them, and rose again. Wherefore, Henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? He is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, which have reconciled us to himself. By who? By Jesus Christ. And has given us, to us, the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. So we pray you in Christ that be you reconciled unto God. For he hath made him to be sin for us. Who did what? Who knew no sin? That we might be what? We might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So, is the believer righteous? Are you righteous? Why are you righteous? Because of Jesus. And you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. Quickly. We need to establish that the believer is righteous. Hallelujah. 13. Verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and what? And righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So who is your righteousness? Jesus Christ is your righteousness. So you are righteous. You look at chapter 6 from verse 19 again. Chapter 6. He said, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. He said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit. Are we all there? Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. He said, and such were some of you. Emphasis on were some of you. He said, but ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we are righteous. So you guys were like that before. So before I came to receive the Lord Jesus into my heart, I was unrighteous. I was not just before God. I couldn't come to God. Some of us, when we even became born again, before we had understanding, we couldn't come before the presence of God confidently. When I was sick at one time, and someone came and said, Papa, hope it's not you have not committed sin. And at that time, my argument was not that I have sinned or not. I was like, even if I commit sin, there's nobody there. And do you know, almost immediately I said that thing, there was faith that rose up on my inside, and I started declaring, and I got well. Because someone challenged me, that I was like, hey. But the fact that even if I have committed sin, you know, at times you look at worst case scenario. And you'll be like, okay, my argument is not even going to be that I've sinned or not. But even if I have done something, the devil can still not come and touch me. So we need to really understand how much this understanding can change our lives. How much it can transform our situations. How much it can change what we go through. Because it really has the power. But the issue is a lot of us are not even persuaded in our hearts. So what you are not persuaded in your heart about, how can you even use it? How can you persuade others about it? Praise God. So this, you are here this morning, and this is what the Lord is saying to you. That if only you can wrap your mind around the fact that God has saved you to the uttermost, he will do wonders with his gospel. The only thing that is limiting you is your unwillingness to wrap your mind around the fact that God has saved you. You are righteous. You are his righteousness. Once you understand this, he said, the hands of the hurt, you will take the gospel there. So whether you know it or not as a believer, whether you believe it or not, you don't understand. I mean, I don't have to be... Let me say this. The point that you believe that there is a God is not when a God became a God. You don't understand. The fact that an unbeliever does not believe that there is a God does not negate the fact that there is a God. So it's not at that point that you came to believe that yes, there is a God that sits in heaven and make the earth his footstool and he rose in the appearance of men, that a God just came into being. Your belief is not what translated God from nothing to something. So what your belief is doing is, your belief is welcoming the reality that has existed before you believed. The same thing with our righteousness, the same thing with our holiness, the same with our sonship, our justification. No, the provision has been there even before you believed. It's not your belief that is bringing it to pass, but your belief is making you accept that reality for your own good. So whether you feel it or not, whether you know it or not, because I've also been there to know that there are times your feelings can mislead you. And that's why personally, somehow, I have a problem with the world without a sense of. Because even when you have a sense of that condemnation, you are not condemned. So it's not that at the time you stop having that sense of condemnation, it's not when you are not condemned. Way before you came into understanding it, you are as uncondemned before God as you are at the point to realize that you stand before him without condemnation. Hallelujah. Are we together? Are we together? So who is righteous? Who is holy? Who is the believer? So what are we doing? You need to understand that which you have. Once you understand that which you have, you're able to do wonders with it. See, everything you will do, the works of righteousness, the fruits of righteousness, everything, they will come from the understanding. Remember the Bible says righteous works. It will come on the understanding of the righteousness that you have. It's when you understand that, okay, that's when you know that, oh, I am doing righteousness. The price that Jesus Christ came to pay is so important that if an unrighteous man does good works, it is dead works. As in, Jesus Christ made so much difference that if an unbeliever does any noble thing, it is dead work. So the reality of our righteous works is embedded, it is locked inside the understanding that we are righteous. And out of that nature of righteousness, righteous works can flow. And until we get, and that's why the devil is, someone says that the devil does not even struggle with you. He's not bothered about you reading this thing. He said, the only thing he's concerned about is, let me just compromise the understanding. I don't have to be the source. Let me, because he cannot be the source of the word of God. He said he just wants to be the interpreter to you. That's what the devil wants to do. Okay, you read the mind of God. You cannot relate with it. So the devil wants to come and distort that mind and pass it to you. And once you get it, you lose every understanding. So whether the believers knows it or not, whether you feel it or not, you are righteous simply because the word says so. I mean, the word says so. And I don't know people who try to adjust the word of God around their experiences. I don't. You know, I tell people that. I'm one person that, even if I abuse you now, I say, you look at your big head, stupid man, wicked man. If I say it suddenly, I won't, because I am guilty of that, start justifying that what I did was good. If Daddy Gio does something bad tomorrow, is Daddy Gio, let me not say. I say Daddy Boy, slap conductor, let me not say. Let's say he slap conductor. He doesn't suddenly change the word of God that because everybody slap conductor, slapping conductor becomes a noble thing. So when we have circumstances around our lives that seems to indicate otherwise, that we are not righteous, that we are not this. No, we don't start saying, okay, maybe, and then. No, we stick to the word of God. What does the word say? So when I'm sick, what do I say? I don't believe that there is a provision for sickness. I know that only one, you are the one out of order. Because the word of God is here and amen. Hallelujah. So, understanding is very key to our effectiveness in life and ministry. And we have all the prayer. So, we're going to look at a number of issues. So we're going to look at the basis and nature of our righteousness. The basis and nature of our righteousness. We are going to look at the basis and the nature. And subsequently, we are going to look at how do they become righteous, and how the need for righteousness, how we became righteous, and how to grow in it. So today we are just looking at the basis for our righteousness and the nature of our righteousness. Hallelujah. How many things are we looking at? Sister Tola, how many things? Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus Christ is our righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Anybody who is there can read. Titus 3, 5. Are we not there? Okay? It said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to the mercy, or to his mercy, he did what he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Hallelujah. So what is the basis for our righteousness? Jesus Christ. Okay. What is the basis of righteousness? But you are not talking to me now. The basis of our righteousness. Yeah? What Christ has done. No, you didn't say what Christ has done, sir. Titus 3, 5 and 6. Oh, yeah, now. The basis for our righteousness. He said, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. He said what? But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, let's take it. Bro, promise, don't be ahead of us. So, through what? Titus 3, 5 says, through Jesus Christ. So, is it Jesus Christ freeing the adulterous woman that made us righteous? Is it Jesus Christ helping the woman with the issue of blood that made us righteous? Is it Jesus Christ that fed the 5,000 that made us righteous? Is it Jesus Christ that put someone's hair back after Peter has struck it out? Is it that guy that made us righteous? So, with Jesus, I mean, what part of Jesus, our Savior, made us righteous? The death and the resurrection of Jesus. So, if Jesus Christ had come and done Santa Claus in this world, just gave everybody gifts like that, and one day he just stood and just disappeared, I said, look, guys, I go to my Father. See you some other time. Like, some. Are we going to be righteous? Because it was impossible for us to be what? To be righteous until what? Until Jesus Christ came and died. So he said, we see the basis of our righteousness is the sacrifice of the Son. His death and resurrection. Now, we couldn't have his righteousness without his death. So even if Jesus Christ had come and spoken in tongues for 33 years, if Jesus Christ came and he spoke in tongues every day for 33 years, you and I cannot be righteous. If Jesus Christ had come and he had healed all the sick in Israel, you cannot be righteous. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. So let's look at the basis for our righteousness. Because when we understand the basis, we'd understand the longevity. We'd understand a lot of other issues around it. We understand the conditions around it. Is it conditional? Is it not conditional? Okay, what can change it? What cannot change it? Is it alterable? Is it not alterable? Romans chapter 3, verse 1 to 28. Romans 3, 1 to 28. The Bible says that. Romans 3, 1 to 28. Are we all there? It's a very long read. But I'll have us read everything. Romans 3, verse 1 to 28. So, what's advantage? Then, okay, I'll read one and we read two together. So we go like that. One, two, three, four. Okay, what advantage then of the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? He said, okay. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Okay, but if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous? Who taketh vengeance I speak as a man. For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my life unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? So what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. Amen. This verse 10 has caused trouble a lot. What is it? Righteousness of God. Someone can say, no. He said there is none that is righteous. No, no one. How can you say you are righteous? You are speaking heresy. You will lead people to sin. And then, you know, anybody leading people to sin, they didn't know they. As in, they told Kenneth Hagin that this is your teaching. He said it will make people start sinning. He said without this knowledge, they have enough weakness in their members to commit sin. So it have they. He said, okay, verse 11 now says, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. He said, their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues, they abuse the seed. The poison of herbs is under their lips. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Okay? And the way of peace they have not known. Now we know that one thing soever the Lord saith, he saith unto them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Okay, verse 22 again. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them who believe, for there is no difference. Verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay, so we are getting to the Jesus that made us righteous. Now, I'm not saying there are types of Jesus. I'm talking about the activity of Jesus that necessitated our righteousness, that brought forth our righteousness. Okay, he said, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Verse 28. So how are we justified? Faith. Faith in what? In the blood of Jesus. Glory to God. So you don't really have to shed your blood again. Jesus Christ went and died. So that is the basis for our righteousness. That is why we became righteous. By Jesus Christ going to the cross. So, you know, people come. And you know, it's very important. Let me tell you something. The most difficult part of the gospel for unbelievers to believe, or let me not say the gospel, because the gospel is actually one. The most difficult part of the realities of the Christian faith that all believers struggle with is the fact that Jesus Christ died and rose again. Do you know that they believe that Jesus Christ came from God? They believe that Jesus Christ is wonderful, that guy is a nice guy, he's powerful, he did stuff. The only challenge they have is that incarnation. That how God can become man and the death buried. You know, when they don't say, okay, let's even agree with you that Jesus is God, that he became man. How can God die? How can God die? But you know, we are not being honest sometimes. As a matter of fact, I see an average of believers a dishonest person. Because you and I know the things we have done for the people we love in our lives.
I promise, Abby. You know what we've done in the name of love?
Shabba. We know, as in me, I know what I have done. As in the name of, I'm serious now, in the name of pure, honest love. That, Toluwani, you just want to reflect the love of God in this situation. So, and I know it is not me. And I just know somehow that the natural Toluwani should just give a dirty slap. Yet, I'm doing otherwise my nature. I don't know. I love to play with children a lot. You know, when you're playing with children, when they are talking, you don't understand them. So your baby says, tata. It is a ta-ta-ta. I say, hey. But you are okay. But somehow, you are displaying non-okayness. Because you love your child and you want to identify with her. She's not making sense. So you want to identify with her nonsenseness. But you are a full-grown man. You are an adult. So if I, as a man, why am I not saying I'm an adult? So when my baby says, ta-ta-ta, I say, one day you're going to grow up. And you're going to go to school. I'm stupid. I'm very stupid. So what am I doing? Do you know that if my child is actually doing that, I'm saying, see, you're going to become an economist. You're going to read, you're going to go to Harvard, and you're going to do this. You know, like I used to be. She doesn't understand what I'm saying. But what am I doing? By relating with her, I'm coming to her level. So I'm dropping everything that makes me an adult. And I'm taking the place of a child. Because love would want me to relate with my child. So, how possible? How difficult is it to think that God, that so loved the world, can go all the way, come from heaven to earth, walk like a mere man, and go to the cross and die, and arise again? I mean, it's beautiful to know that God did that for you and I. Every day I try to still wrap my mind around it. Sometimes I just sit down, I just think about redemption. I don't have money in my pocket. I just understand that, no, someone came and made me righteous, and I rejoice in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, we understand that we became righteous only by one thing, only by his death. And we read in Romans chapter 5 again. He said, by one man's obedience. See, Jesus Christ obeyed, you know Jesus Christ obeyed God all through. He said, whatever I do, as I see my Father do, I do. He did a lot of things. So, Jesus Christ healed everyone that the Father would want him to heal. Jesus Christ responded as the Father would want him to respond. Jesus Christ did everything. He fulfilled the will of God till they come. But the Bible says it was by his obedience that many are made righteous. So it wasn't the obedience of maybe choosing the 12. Because I believe God was an integral part of everything. So it wasn't the obedience of going to this place. It wasn't the obedience of healing the sick that made us become righteous. It was the obedience to death and even death by the cross. That was the basis of our righteousness. And because that thing is irreversible, you cannot edit it, you cannot modify it. Righteousness is the same way. As it doesn't need updates, it doesn't need upgrade. It's as it was from the point he obeyed even unto death. And we became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's the basis. And once you understand these basis, it triggers a lot of other things in your life. You're able to work more effectively in ministry. You're able to do things. You're able to. You just understand. It's not by me. I mean, you don't understand. You can. There was a time I was trying to explain something about casting out demons. I was like, yeah, see, you know, we have this Bible passage that is causing trouble. That this guy went out that they said by fasting and prayer. I'm like, yeah, don't say anything, guys. See, he's not fasting. Don't eat. You can stand up and finish eating a bar and cast out demon. Hey, you can say you can even be feeling your stomach after the bar. I cast out the demon. Of course, we have seen some yeye movies in the past. You that just did this yesterday. How can you cast it out? No. I'll be like, pastor. Nonsense. It is on the obedience of Christ Jesus that your righteousness is based. What is the obedience? Death even by the cross. That's how we became righteous. It doesn't get any clearer than that.
So that's the basis for our righteousness. Romans 5 again. We're going to read Romans 5 verse 17 again. From verse 17. It said, for if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification unto life. For as by one man's obedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so grace, my grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So this righteousness reigns. It reigns much more than sin had reigned in us. It cannot be swallowed by anything that is in you. Amen. So we've been able to say that we could not earn the righteousness of God. It was because of what God did. It is He that did it. He was the author, He was the finisher. As the righteousness is so important for our relationship with God, it was so important for our fellowship with Him. And nobody could approach Him until Jesus Christ did what He did on the cross of Calvary. Until He went to that cross and died, no one could be righteous enough to come before God and say, no, I'm before You. You realize that the apostles, when they went, the Bible will say, and they saw Jesus, that they trembled. He had fear. I mean, Jesus Christ will just do one. You know these days, Jesus Christ will just do wonder for you. Just come to a meeting, and someone just comes, burst forth in tongues, and gives the word of knowledge. And glory! In those days, the apostles will be like, hey, about to dissolve. As you understand, they were living in fear. Just imagine Jesus Christ being here, and you're not righteous. I mean, there is no righteousness for you. You'll be looking at that guy. I don't know him. You don't know that he has not come to condemn. I don't know if I've ever been close to any pastor that has so much word of knowledge. You know, if you don't understand that your pastor is a loving pastor, that he's not using that gift to fish for evil, and you just messed up, you're like, And there is a fear that comes. You know, when we're growing up, my dad works in so much word of knowledge that my dad could know when you are doing rubbish. I just call you and say, Yano, come. I was like, what is you doing? So somehow, even when we didn't know the love of the Father, we were somehow, because of Daddy Mario Magbiwa. You understand? We were careful about the things we were doing. So just imagine that Jesus was there and they didn't understand that He loved them. And they didn't really have righteousness as a twin. So just imagine, and Jesus just come. I'm like, hey. You can imagine the sense of fear. You can imagine the sense of guilt. You can imagine the timidity. Because what? They didn't know the love of the Father, that He has come to give us righteousness, and we stand before Him without a sense of guilt, without a sense of condemnation, without a sense of fear, without a sense of inferiority complex, without any consciousness of sin. And that's the beautiful thing about it. We are not inferior. We do not consider it robbery to be seen as righteous as God. We are righteous because He has made us. We are His righteousness. We are His righteousness. And that is the problem that the Apostle Paul had with the Roman church. He said, with the Roman guys. He said, you guys, you don't understand the righteousness of God. He said, you are going about establishing your own righteousness. There is a righteousness of God that has been made available for you and I in Christ Jesus. All I'm asking you guys to do is just to receive it. That means just lambano it. Just take it. Glory to God. It's a beautiful thing to know we are righteous. Can we glorify the name of the Lord? Just worship God. Worship God. Worship God. Father, we bless You. Marosh shall be regained. Das kali bragarosh. We give You praise. Galamadosotondo pregidosh atanda libraha. Mezikitusto libregidosh tali mandoskoto fregerinda liba kususutodoria. Inga zu prehenda libragarosh tahinga diskoto fregerosh. We appreciate You, Lord Jesus. Thank You for that which You did. Thank You for redemption. Thank You for redemption. Thank You for going all the way. Thank You for going all the way. You went all the way. All the way. All the way. Because of me. He had me in mind. He had me in mind. It wasn't possible without You. We do not lightly esteem this. Glory to God.
Glory to God. It's not something to be taken for granted. It is not something to be taken for granted. I mean that someone, that God was mindful of us enough to actually come in mortal flesh and go all the way to the cross. Just for one thing, righteousness. Righteousness. I mean, if it was possible, the death of Jesus would have been a waste. If it was possible without him dying. But he wanted us to know that, see, you guys have righteousness, you have forgiveness of sins already, and I want you to have it. So, what is the nature of our righteousness? The nature of the righteousness we have. We have looked at the basis. Abby, the basis of our righteousness is what? Our righteousness is based on what? Faith in Jesus' death. And let me complete the resurrection. Abby, because, you know, I like to quickly add the resurrection because I remember very well that Paul said it to the Corinthians. He said, if only in this world that we have hope. Sir, if you have all the speaking in tongues in this world. You know, I don't know. I've not been privileged to have a revelation of heaven. I don't know if there will be interpretation of tongues there. So until I see that, I would believe that all the gifts are for this earth. So if all the gifts are for this earth, that means all these healing of the sick, raising of the dead, they are for this earth. So if Christianity, if all there is to Christianity is heal the sick, speak in tongues, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, you are miserable. As in, see, without the resurrection, he said, you are of all men the most miserable. As a matter of fact, he said, your faith is in vain if Christ had not risen. And yet in your sins. That means you are unrighteous. Because exactly what righteousness is, are taking you out of your sin and justifying you so that you can be before God without any sense of guilt or inferiority, as though you have never sinned. So if that resurrection did not happen, then you are yet in your sin. Your faith is in vain. And you are of all men the most miserable. You don't understand. let me paint it very well. You are a missionary. You are in one bush. You have been bitten by snakes. You have been dealt with by wild animals. You have raised men for the gospel. You have gotten men filled in the Holy Ghost. You have raised their dead. You have drunk their water. You have eaten their food. You have walked naked. You have done everything. Yet, with all those things, if there is no resurrection, you are of all men the most miserable. So I'm not talking about you that you're even living in Abuja, that you have some money to at least enjoy life more. I mean, if you suffer on earth for the gospel and there is no resurrection, you are miserable again of all men. So it's important that we understand that the basis for it is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's why you are righteous. That's why you were declared righteous. You did not earn it. You were. It's a free gift. Nobody was. You couldn't have earned it. You are too broke to pay for it. And this is your life. Your life. You think your life can end you right? Your life. You die inside your room. You wake up and say, God, why am I wretched like this? What's wrong with me? I mean, even in life, even in enjoying food, shelter, and clothing, your life is cannot get you yet. And you think it will fetch you righteousness? He said, it is what? It is the righteousness apart from works. Without the law. By faith in what? By faith in what Jesus Christ did. So what happens? At the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ died and was declaring his righteousness unto us. And for as many that would believe that testimony, he said to them, he gave what? He gave right. He gave them the power to become sons of God. So you become sons of God. The very nature of God is in you. You become righteous. You are faultless. You are without blame. And you are preserved the same. So forever I am changed by that love. Forever. I mean, we can just understand that love is not changing you every day. It changed you once and forever. What are you doing every day? You are walking into the understanding of the love that changed you. You are understanding the righteousness of that which converted you. That which you received at the instance of receiving Jesus into your heart. So you grow it. You grow in it. You just know that, oh, this war, I want to wage it by righteousness. And that's how you can stand before the hosts and the principalities and everywhere. And you can declare, you can turn them to flight. I mean, you can enter somewhere and say, see, this will not happen and it will not happen.
Thinking that you can go anywhere and just say, I suspend this because I want to do ministry here. Why? Because of that love that betted you as a righteous person. Hallelujah. So the nature, I said, righteousness is a free gift. It is not earned. It is received. As a matter of fact, nobody could have earned it. So a savior needed to die. And that was why Jesus Christ died. So let's look at the nature of our righteousness. The nature of our righteousness. So what's the nature of our righteousness? The nature of our righteousness is that it is eternal. Everybody say eternal. Eternal. See, there is nothing. The last thing on my mind that I was somehow thinking about that God created. That God created that was not eternal. Was the human body. Until I realized it was Adam that created it. I'm not joking. Everything that God created is eternal. You know the Bible says that the body we are going to have, 2 Corinthians 5:1. He said, the hope we have that even if this tabernacle be destroyed, he said we have a building that is of God, eternal in the heavens. And like I said also, we are just being dishonest. You know when you just get a job, maybe you just get a job in Nestle, you just go to church, you just say, praise the Lord! And like, hallelujah, praise Master Jesus. If I go to redemption, I can very well. And like, praise Master Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, just say, just go straight to what the Lord has done. And the person say, I want to thank God for the salvation of my soul. And like after my sister say, I thank God because last Holy Ghost conversion, I was trusting God for a job, and now I return with a job and an official car. I'm like, oh, praise Master Jesus. And someone comes and says, that which the Lord has done for you, it shall be permanent. Because the Bible says whatever the Lord does is permanent. Nothing can be taken away from it. Nothing can be added to it. I'm like, yes, hallelujah. So when they go and say, salvation is eternal. I'm like, you're mad. Okay, let's go back. Let's go back. Who is salvation? God. You know, it's salvation of God. But whatever God does is eternal. No, it's not like that. I said, okay. Let the same person get a job and say, whatever the Lord has done, it shall be permanent. And you say, it shall be permanent. It shall be permanent. What the Lord has done for me, it shall be permanent. It's so painful that we can believe these realities when it comes to ephemeral things. When it comes to temporary verities, we can hold the Lord of the Lord and say, yes, it is God. You know, like, there was a time, I've done stores. There was a time that I believed that my phone cannot get broken. And you know what? You know the scripture I was standing on, sir? I was standing on your phone all things by the word of his power. So God is upholding my asset by the word of his power. So I believe that even if my phone falls, it cannot be because it's God that is upholding it. But you know what? Do you know, somehow, I had results. Because about 2 times, I also lost my phone on the bike. And in Nigeria, bike men called me and brought my phone back to me. And sorry, I called and they brought my phone back to me. I'm like, hallelujah, you uphold all things. Like, nothing missing, nothing broken. It's amazing that we can do this. But when you are upheld by the hand of the Almighty. Someone say, I'm only Jabo. I'm like, Jesus can. Jesus is holding you. Only Jabo, only four. I'm like, I'm not 14 by Jabo. If I sin like this, I'll become heavy in the hands of God. And I will fall. It's amazing how we believe those things. Everything in Christ is everlasting. As in, is it not so amazing that we believe that we... Let me say this. There are some things I have used in this life. I still have them. I mean, I know people, especially our ladies, the clothes they wore when they were 12, they still inside their wardrobe, they still have it. Mommy, pastor. The clothes they wear when they were 12, they still have it. I'm like, what are you using this thing for? He's like, something is wrong with you, man. They are preserving it. They are keeping it. So they are almost becoming eternal babes. They can keep stuff, earthly things. I don't know if you have, some of you are giving people things, and you that you gave them, we will be reminding you that you are the one that gave them, so yeah, and they are still using it. I'm serious. See, I went home. Last time I went home, I gave my younger sister this jota, GT Bank jota. I still went home. I still saw the thing. Very new. Yeah, she has not touched it. Like, I should not have given you. And you understand? So when it comes to the things that God can do, we just believe that, no, there is something that can change it. It's only when we buy Omar Jeep that we know that it's permanent, what God has done for us. But that's not true. That's selective disposition. So let's look at the scriptures. He said, as with every other of God's gift, it is eternal. It is infinite. Like, just like salvation, like redemption, like the kingdom of God, like the life. He said, Isaiah says that the increase of his kingdom, there shall be no end. There is nothing that God does that is temporary. And like I told you, the only thing I used to think that God created that is temporary is this, our human flesh. But I know that it was Abraham. Let me tell you the way Pastor Noyinka said it. He said, if it was God that created this thing, after creating it, you now put your spirit inside of it, that means God created death before life. Because the body without the spirit is there. So God started on a death note and ending on a life note. So this is the only doubt I was having until Pastor came and told us that it was Abraham. Let me just say, told us. Pastor taught us. I have to say that. So that I know our pastor is not someone that said God said. As in, God said, this is this. If God is saying this, God will say, I will be in the presidency tomorrow. not doctrinal matters. Okay, so everything God does is eternal. Psalm chapter 103, verse 17. The righteousness of God is everlasting. We don't lose it. It is a gift. It is not a deal. It's not God and I striking a deal and saying, okay, Toluwani, if you do this, and you don't do this, you are fine. So, Psalm 103 verse 17. Are we there? Psalm 103 verse 17, quickly. What does the word say? But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to what? To everlasting upon them that fear him. And his word, and his righteousness unto children's children. That signifies eternity. That's the righteousness of God. I mean, it has no expiry date. At this stage. And that means because in time, it is not limited. In circumstances, in the things you go through, it doesn't change too. It doesn't diminish. So the nature of the righteousness we receive is for how long? It's for how long? Forever. It's not for some time. It's not when you are good. It's not when you are bad. It's not when you are this. It's not when you are that. It's what? Because the basis upon which the righteousness was established is forever. It's the once and for all. And until we understand these realities, you will just think you are righteous today. You are not righteous tomorrow. And then he said this. He said from the same source, blessing and curse can come out. He said, but this ought not to be so. And then some people just come, they just say in Jesus' name, they just say, God bless you now. And just say that you're already down already. He said, yes, for human being, we can do it. But even for you, that is a bloody mortal, it ought not to be so. So how much more God? So is it God that will be delayed with his righteousness? The psalmist said, but the mercy of the Lord, can we read it together? But the mercy of the Lord is from what? Everlasting to everlasting. Upon them that fear him. And his what? His righteousness unto children's children. His righteousness is everlasting. The same way with his redemption, the same way with salvation, the same way with the gift we have received on us, on our inside. Everything is everlasting. You say, the gift, God gave me this, God gave me this. You say, the gift and his calling are without repentance. But righteousness, that one, he takes it back. Salvation, he takes it back. But that's not God. Whatever he does is eternal. I mean, how can a God that cannot die create something that will die? How can a God that is forever create something that is temporal? Someone said that funny theology. Someone said that when you get born again and you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the person says when you become born again and you sin, you can lose your salvation. He now said that when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because the Bible says that one is forever, you cannot lose it. So when you sin, it becomes corrupted. He said it becomes corrupted. So you still have it, but it's corrupted. Just like you have a gun and you are shooting it now. I'm like, wait. You believe that the Holy Spirit is in you, even though you can be corrupted. Hey, who should believe that the salvation can be corrupted, but it's forever too? And we know that you are closer than the truth. To the truth. And we know that, okay, there is consistency in your doctrine. And like, how can you say that this is forever and this is temporary? This one can be corrupted. What even made it become born again? Said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and of spirit. So, it's that spirit that actually gave birth to you that made you become born again. So, if you don't lose that spirit of God, you cannot lose your salvation, because that spirit is actually the seal of your salvation. So, the same thing, righteousness, the righteousness that we have in God, the forgiveness of sins and everything, they are eternal. Psalm chapter 119 verse 42. 142. Psalm 119 verse 142. The basis and the nature of our righteousness. The nature of our righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. He said, thy righteousness, are we there? So can we read it together? If we are there. Psalm 119 verse 142. Who is there? Are we all there? Sister Juliet, are you there? Psalm 119 verse 142. Dola, are you there? Okay, can we read together? Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. So how long is our righteousness? Everlasting righteousness. Glory to God. So it doesn't go and come. That means since you became born again, every day of your life, you can stand up and go. Permit the word go now. You know, we are continually in the presence of God. I mean, when it comes to maybe doing responsibilities on the righteous and doing exploit, you can come and stand before God every day and wrought signs and wonders. Why? Because you have an everlasting, unchanging, unending righteousness. You know what I say? When I see this like power of an endless life in the Bible, I want to run mad. And he says things like everlasting. I have loved you with an everlasting love. When I see those kind of things, when I read the scriptures and I see those things, I practically want to tear my glue. Like, everlasting, eternal. He said, if this temple be destroyed, he said, it's just 5:1. He said, we have a building that is of God. He said, it is eternal in the heavens. So he said, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. So the righteousness is based on what? It is based on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And what? And it is what? It is everlasting in nature. How do we receive it? We receive it as a gift. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. Are we understanding righteousness? Are we understanding righteousness this morning? So do we understand that it's not by the works of the law. It's not by what we did, but by the obedience of one. Hallelujah. It's very funny that I'm just standing on my own. I'm just standing, like sitting, doing it on my own. And someone came one day. I didn't even read it in the Bible first. Someone came and told me. I said, you are a sinner because of Adam's sins. I'm like, okay. I believe. And then showed me Romans. Okay, yes. All have sinned. You don't understand. Some of us, we were actually growing up as fantastic guys. We were just these guys, you know, a pastor's child. We were just cool like that. They sent you to the market. You pay. You know, because you knew we were not going to lie to them at all. So this is how I go to the market when I was small. And they send you to the market to go and get something. Or maybe the next street to get something. You will see your friend on the road. Now, because you know it's forbidden in our house to tell lies, you will play with your friend. Maybe it was supposed to take you 10 minutes. You will play with your friend for 7 minutes. After 7 minutes, you will have big grace. You will get to that place. Buy what you want to buy. Big grace back home. Bah! So it will be like, All the time you have used to spare your prayer, you come out for it in speed. So some of us were actually growing up as fantastic, awesome guys. Yet they came to us and told us, you are a sinner because of Adam. And someone now comes later to show you from the same scripture that you are righteous because of the obedience of Adam. Lie. But the time they told you that you were a sinner, you have not done anything bad, as it were. Or the things we see as bad. But it shows you the nature of the unrenewed mind to admit to what is wrong. The readiness of our mind to embrace negativity than positivities. And I used to, that's why we need to pray. That's why we wake up every morning. You have to pray the Pauline prayers. Like, my highest of understanding is enlightened. I understand the hope of my calling. You speak it forth. I understand the inheritance that is in the faith, that is inheritance of the saints and everything. You say all these things because, read, if your mind does not come to the point of comprehending this truth, it will do you no good. The Bible says the same prayer, the same word that was preached to them, he said to us, was preached to them. He said, but it profited them nothing because it did not make some faith in their heart. Now, when you just remember one moment, God, may I have been called unto an inheritance incorruptible. They say incorruptible. There's not mean corruption that we're fighting, though. You know, when the Bible uses incorruptible, he was talking about death, corruptible and corrupt. He's talking about death and life. So it's not like it's the corruption of stealing money that he's talking. He said an inheritance that is incorruptible is an inheritance that cannot perish, an inheritance that cannot fade away. An inheritance that is eternal. The same way with our righteousness. It is incorruptible. There is really nothing you can do. Now, this is not me saying you can't do anything. I'm just saying that it is essentially on the premise of the fact that a Savior came and died. That's why the righteousness of God is shed upon us. Hallelujah. So, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness. And to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Hallelujah. Daniel 9:24. It says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish his transgression and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring an everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision. To bring what? An everlasting righteousness. So this was a prophecy that was going out, that come forth before Christ. He said, what is he going to bring? Is he going to bring an Abba righteousness? Is it going to be Tokumbo? It's going to be what? It's going to bring an everlasting righteousness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we have been able to see that the righteousness is a reality that just needs to be understood. Your righteousness is not all you are begging for. Okay, you say, make me like David, make me like Abraham. They are the people of righteousness, make me like Peter. And that's not what you're doing. You're just renewing your mind after that which has been done for you on the cross. That's understanding it. It's been done. Tell your neighbor, it's been done. I mean, there is nothing else to do. It's been done. Hallelujah. That's the righteousness that we have gotten. And it was just one guy that did it. When I say God is just guy, people look at me like something is wrong with him. But when it was just one Jesus that did it. Hallelujah. So righteousness is a reality to you. If you have accepted the Lord as your Lord and Savior, if you are believing his death, burial, and resurrection, you are righteous as God. You do not think it's robbery to be equal with God. You are as righteous as God. As righteous as God. I mean, there is righteousness with him. There is righteousness with you. And you do great things with it. You put men out of darkness with it. When you understand it, you can go up. You know, I work in an insurance company. And because I wasn't so sure that insurance, I'm going to buy it. I couldn't market it. Because what? Because I didn't understand the business of insurance. I didn't understand how dependable it is. The same way, if you are not persuaded about the eternity of your righteousness, you cannot bring other men into that scenario. You know, do you think it was easy for Noah, a preacher of righteousness, to be shouting every day, rain was coming? They have never seen rain before. If rain is coming, is it your stupid act that will stop the water from going? But he went all as confidently and was telling people, say, this is it. Danger is coming. This is the salvation. Because he was persuaded. Tell your neighbor, you are persuaded. You are persuaded. Hallelujah. So lastly, let's just read Romans chapter 8 as we close. Romans chapter 8. So understand that our righteousness is what is eternal, and it is predicated onward on the blood of Jesus, on the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. The Bible says from from verse, okay, let me start from verse 34. Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is it that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we were killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we were more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. So it's the love of God that has separated us unto righteousness. It's the love of God that delivered us on that cross. When every other voice was speaking loud, the love of God was speaking louder and was saying, this is my righteousness. This is the blood that will bring you righteousness. And Jesus Christ went all the way and he died for us. And today, you and I, we can reveal that which he has done on the cross. And we can believe that report because it's true. As absolutely says that who has believed our report, and to whom of the Lord, to whom is the hand of the Lord revealed. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form of comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire. That he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Except what he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes he were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid on us the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his dead, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. And yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. Hallelujah. God is satisfied with us because we are righteous. He said, he shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. And what? And for he shall bear their iniquities. He said, therefore, will I divide him in portion with the great, and he shall divide his poor with the strong, because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So when we're transgressing, when we're gone astray, every one of us who went our ways, Jesus Christ went to that cross. He paid the price, and he gave us salvation. He gave us righteousness forever. And you and I can stand confidently before God today, without a sense of guilt, of condemnation, of inferiority, without any consciousness of sin, and declare boldly that I am righteous. I am righteous. I am righteous. I am righteous. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing can change it. It is eternal. It is eternal. It is everlasting. It's not negotiable. Nobody can change it. The loudest voice from the pit of hell cannot put it down. It cannot be silenced, because it speaks forever. That my salvation, my righteousness is of the Lord. It is of the Lord. Glory to God. Worship the Lord in the spirit. Linga Rosca Libre Linga the Wash. Let's rise our feet and worship the name of the Lord. Let's call this gift of righteousness. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. That's why we cannot boast about it. We can only rejoice in it. We can only exalt God for him.
The seed of my Lord of God has been on Jesus' name. Silent has he stood accused.
We do not lightly esteem it. We
we do not take it for granted. God, we shall release to us.
Bowing to the Father's will, He took a crown of thorns. Oh, the rugged cross.
Us only we are submerged in this understanding and that leads us in the path of responsibilities unto righteousness. It leads us in the direction of bringing men to this light and to the understanding of this truth. We are strengthened in the place of understanding this and it drives us back in the Zofra Hirosh La Bosco Debra Hinda Zika Kozeti Libreros Manga Zika Talibre Hirosh Adibraha. This understanding grows in our hearts. It grows in our hearts. It grows in our heart. And it consumes those around us. It grows in our hearts. And this understanding consumes those around us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Now.
Hallelujah. I've been blessed this morning. It's been a wonderful year. Right? Through it all. I know it might not be the way you wanted it to turn out, but through it all, His love remains the same. And you know what? We are going to use the same love to alter the course of the coming year. We are going to say that by the love of God, this is not permitted to happen in my life. You know, it's not going to be because of what you have done or you failed to do. I say, by the love of God, this is not permitted to happen to me. Hallelujah. Through it all, His love remains the same. Let's just worship God for the year. For the year, it's the last Sunday and the last day of the year, if I'm right. It's the last day. Throughout the year, nothing separated us from the love because nothing can actually. That's the love of God. Let's worship the name of the Lord.
Faithful God. Oh, faithful God. Faithful God. Oh, faithful God. Only You decide the glory in my life. Only You decide the glory. Oh, faithful God. Faithful God. Faithful God. Oh, faithful God.
Let's thank God for the past months, the past weeks, the past month, the past day. God has been faithful. He's been faithful. He's faithful.
Oh,
Shkebe Rebo.
please pick somebody and pray in the spirit. Bless that person in the spirit. Ensure your neighbor speak in tongues today. That is the best gift you can give your neighbor. Bless him in the spirit. Bless her in the spirit. Jalabindo rotos kivelibranenos kiverata shulalandos. Ebo zavida kaleliko shalabande ifredidos. Bless your neighbor. Bless your neighbor in the spirit. Rabadei shagalingo rodadeido dos kiveridas. It has been a great year for us. It's greater, it's greater, it's greater, it's greater, it's greater, it's greater.
From beginning.
Leva dao shakatam ba de 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 Ela da zika diva nande e folunda ati de diga shkibi de 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 sh. Ensure the flow. Lega rande diga de shkidabina ande le 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 shere dada. Zoba de ga di lo kunda di de do shalalande e talibro dus. Greater ye it is for us. Zega diva ba unzande li koto shalalande ish. As individual, greater ye it is for us. As a church, greater ye it is for us. Mando zodo ze de de di shakata. We will not fail in the things of God. Diga diga da 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 da. Enklokoski vita anteleli kotuski belido chaleleya. Manda uzumo liki de liki de du sharada. Gem papa ziga di de liko toza di de nande le kodush. We will bring many into the kingdom. God susa liga di de du shalalada. We will forgive many their sins by preaching the gospel laga day. Epo satu zeli katana nendos. Ezada dada do zada da. Ningo go 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 shilala dida. Eta tati go do 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 shirera. In this ministry, lagada of preaching and of prayer will not fail. Lega di zata do do. Rada di go zude e katale lei ma bando zude. Ashula tata ti katana nendos shirera. Eruda da 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 I bless my partner Zigo Toteledas. I bless my partner Zikatina Nandes. Whatever God has called you for, Liga Nande Etelelia, you excel in distance. You excel in distance. You excel in distance. Ekatos.